And it is now 9 o'clock here on your Sunday evening, working our way into hour number two of the Juke Joint broadcast. My name is Robert Barclay, and this is about the time of the show when I give you my email address. Email is the best way to reach me if you have any questions about the music, you want to make a request for a future edition of the show. Email is the best way to reach me. It also lets me know you're listening. I love to know where you're listening from, what city, town, hamlet, state, province, what country. I've heard from listeners in Vietnam and Japan in the past, and halfway across the Pacific. I've got a regular listener in Hawaii that drops me a line from time to time, so drop me a line. Two sentences, that's all it takes, and let me know where you're listening from. My email address is robert.barclay, B-A-R-C-L-A-Y, at cmich.edu. That's robert.barclay at cmich.edu. And thanks for taking the time. Already heard from Skylight Steve checking in from the San Francisco Bay Area, listening online. I appreciate that. He said, hope you got your fire extinguishers there tonight because your music is hot. So, good to know. He is a longtime listener to the Juke Joint broadcast, and actually I met him through this broadcast back in about 1986 or so, and we've become very close friends. Well, let's turn to, Peggy and I were down in Memphis, Tennessee for a big event back in 2004, and as we're walking through we weren't staying at the Peabody Hotel. That's a fairly expensive place. We had a very nice place, but we walked across the street to the Peabody, and as we're walking through, there are various boutiques within there, and the one that had some very cool shirts in the window, and I said, oh my God, look at these shirts. Very cool. And then I looked up at the store name, and it said Lansky Brothers, and I went, oh no, wow. This is where Elvis walked in here to buy his first clothes, and for several decades, he bought clothes at Lansky Brothers. And so I walked in, and there was a picture of Elvis with Mr. Lansky on the wall behind the cash register. And I asked a guy in his 40s, I said, is that Mr. Lansky up there? He says, yeah, that's my father. I went, oh, okay. Is he still around? He says, yeah, he's right over there. I said, oh, man, Peg, I gotta interview this guy. So we set up a time to tape an interview, and now I'm going to share one soundbite with you about undoubtedly his most famous customer.
Now, you've had a few musicians come in here over the years, I suspect.
Had quite a few of them. You name them, I had them.
Well, let's start with, when was the first time Elvis walked in the door?
Elvis never walked in the door. Elvis used to walk up and down Bill Street. He used to work at the theater. He used to work at the Lowe's Theater. He was an usher and used to come out the back door and used to have a coffee break, and he'd come down looking out windows. He used to walk up and down Bill Street. Went further down Bill Street to the churches and things like that, the gospel singers and things like that. Used to watch him. And he used to come back up and look in the window. I didn't know who he was. See this young white guy. You know, not too many very white dudes out on Bill Street in that time. But he looked in. One day I saw him. I called him and I said, come on in, young man. Let me show you around. He walked in. I showed him around. And, boy, this is real sharp. This is something different. I said, you're right about that. He said, I like it. He said, I don't have no money. He said, when I get rich, I'll buy you out. I said, do me a favor. Don't buy me out. Just buy from it. I really appreciate it. And he walked out. And then next Friday when he got paid, which was making 35 cents an hour at that time in the 40s, just, you know, they came out and bought a $3.95 shirt, first shirt he ever bought, you know, and a really fashion shirt. And after that, he started coming in all at once. I saw him come in one day. Mr. Lansky, I said, what you want, Elvis? He said, man, I got a contract with Ed Sullivan, Tommy Dorsey, Jimmy Dorsey. I'm going to New York. I said, good for you, man. That's fantastic. Unbeknown to me what he did, but he played a guitar, and he finally got this song going. He got a couple of good numbers. So he came back. He said, I got to have some clothes. I said, okay, let's pick out some stuff. So I laid out four or five outfits in there. And when I laid out and everything, he said, I've got a problem. I said, what's your problem, Elvis? He said, I don't have no money. I said, that's a hell of a problem, man. I said, you sure got a problem. So I said, tell you what. I said, you just go ahead and we take care of you. When you come back and when you get some money, you can pay me. He said, well, I appreciate it. I said, fine, it'll be no problem. So he started taking it, started hitting it, television. That Saturday night, that first Saturday night when he was on television, I said, man, we had the camera, had to bring in a TV. And everybody in the neighborhood come out looking at, man, that's Elvis, man. He was zigzagging and everything. I said, God damn, that man good, man. I didn't know he was that good. I said, shit, he'd come back, he'd get some more credit.
What a thrill it was to meet Bernard Lansky at his Lansky Brothers clothing store in Memphis, Tennessee, not far off Beale Street. Well, let's turn to 19-year-old Elvis Presley, who was clearly a blues fan.
Well, I heard the news. Life's good to rockin' tonight. Well, I heard the news. Life's good to rockin' tonight. I'm gonna hold my baby as tight as I can. Tonight she'll know I'm a mighty, mighty man. I heard the news. There's good to rockin' tonight. I say, oh, meet me in a hurry behind the bars. Don't you be afraid that I'll do you no harm. I want you to bring along my rocking shoes, cause tonight I'm going to rock away all the blues. I heard the news, there's good to rockin' tonight.
Elvis Presley on My Baby Left Me, a song written and originally recorded by Arthur Big Boy Crudup, a fellow Mississippian. Elvis was born in Tupelo, Mississippi, and Big Boy Crudup was born in Forest, Mississippi. And Elvis recorded three of Arthur Crudup's tunes, and they are among my favorite songs that Elvis did. Of course, I like Mr. Crudup's versions as well. It's just about 11 minutes past 9 o'clock, and as I reflect on 33 years of spinning the blues here on Sunday nights, I think of the various listeners, many of whom I have never met, but they're special to me because they're in contact with me, whether it's through email or Facebook or over the phone. Well, the phone isn't such a good way to reach me because I'm very busy on Sunday nights during the broadcast, but years ago, I had a listener named Jesse, and I referred to him on the air as Jesse from Flint. He was born in 1914, and he said, "Robert, you're the only one who plays the real, real oldies. Everybody else says they play the oldies. You play the oldies." That's true, because I go back to the 1920s, 30s, and 40s when he was a young man. And Peggy and I said to Peg, "We got to go meet Mr. Jesse." So we were in Flint, and we went up and knocked on his door and made his acquaintance, he and his wife, Christine. We went to his funeral as well several years back. Wonderful, devoted listener. He called me every Sunday night after 11 before I headed home from the Juke Joint broadcast. Now I'm thinking of a couple of listeners that met on Mackinac Island while they were working with the horses that helped transport passengers from the ferry dock on Mackinac Island to the Grand Hotel. Their names are Darren and Aaron. Aaron is from Ontario. Darren is from Melbourne, Australia. Well, they emailed me years ago and told me that when they got off work on Sunday evening, they would hop on their bicycles, sometimes packing a picnic dinner or a treat, a dessert or whatever, and taking along their radio in the basket on the bicycle. And they'd go for a ride around the island and perhaps watch a sunset with their radio tuned into the Juke Joint broadcast. And I loved hearing from them. A romance developed despite the fact that Darren returned to Melbourne after the summer was over and Aaron returned to Ontario. But their romance was kept alive. And finally, they had a storybook wedding on the island. Their son Leo was born a year and a half later. Well, I bring you the sad news. For a week ago, Darren was killed in a tragic motorcycle accident. He loved not only horses, but he loved motorcycles. He was killed in the accident, and his funeral was this weekend with his family from Melbourne in attendance down in Fergus, Ontario. Aaron contacted me and asked me if I'd play a couple of tunes in his memory for her angel up above, tunes that she knew Darren loved. We're going to hear from Jimi Hendrix in a minute, but first, Aaron asked for Stevie Ray Vaughan's version of the Jimi Hendrix tune, Little Wing. Thank you.
Thank you.
released by request of Erin in Fergus, Ontario. Her late husband, Darren, said, next time you're in the store, go pick up that new Jimi Hendrix CD. They have been mining the vaults for Hendrix recordings from the late 60s up to 1970 when he died. Jimi Hendrix, that was from a new CD called Both Sides of the Sky, and Darren especially liked that tune, Sweet Angel. In front of that, we heard from Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble from 1991. For Erin and Darren in Fergus, Fergus, Ontario, and we heard a tune titled Little Wing. Robert Barkley here at the Juke Joint. It's now 9:25, and let's turn to another soundbite from an artist I had the opportunity to interview several years ago. When did I interview him? This is James Harmon, and I interviewed him at the Cadillac Club down in Lansing about 8 years ago. And here he is talking about his early years living in Alabama and the panhandle of Florida. Now, I assume you went pretty much through all your schooling in Anniston, is that correct?
No, I moved from there when I was 16. 62, we left, my dad retired, and we moved to Panama City, Florida. And that's where I went to Bay County High School and Gulf Coast Junior College, and then on to university there, Tallahassee. But at that point is where I started singing professionally. Was in Panama City and going out to hear the real artists, you know. Mm-hmm. When I was 16, 17, 18, 19, I'd paint on a mustache, and there was four white guys. They have a table in a black nightclub, and we'd go hear O.V. Wright and James Carr and Otis Redding and B.B. King and Little Milton and Joe Tex and Al T.N.T. Braggs. And I saw Junior Parker when I was 17. It was just fabulous, and I watched all that, and I realized that's what I want to be. I want to be a blues singer. That's what I'm going to do.
When you run down the list of names, I don't know if you can see it, but I got goosebumps on my arm.
Yeah, I think about it now, and it's exciting because I realize nobody around today that's just getting into this will ever see any of these people, and I got to stand here and, you know, 6 feet away and watch James Carr sing at the dark end of the street and stuff like that. You know, and it's me too. Yeah. It'll never go away. You know, I mean, that'll never be replaced by anything I'm likely to hear again. You know.
Well, that was the comments of James Harmon about his younger years living in Florida and seeing some of the singers that inspired him to become a blues man. We're going to hear his description of seeing Bobby Bland in Florida in a few minutes. Let's turn to James Harmon's new CD. He blows harp. He's a fine songwriter, and he's got a great sense of humor. He said one night on the road, he was watching some late-night TV after a gig, and those infomercials come on. Well, he saw this infomercial for a product called the Memory Foam Mattress. You got to listen closely. It's a classic James Harmon composition. He's singing and blowing harp, singing about the Memory Foam Mattress.
Memory Foam Mattress. I'm gonna sell a memory foam mattress, baby. Holds too many memories of you. It reminds me of our golden years before you said you was through. You know you swore on your mama's Bible that forever you'd be true. But you traded the devil your last breath to live forever, making me blue. I put your crushed velvet lazy boy in the dumpster out behind the mall. Folded up your TV dinner tray and tucked it neatly out in the hall. I saw your pink princess telephone in the yard sale just yesterday. You won't be calling that fella no more.
to tell him you're on your way. I cashed in on those bottles you had blocking my garage. My troubles all disappearing now, like they've been a damn mirage. When that insurance check finally comes in, I'll create you a little shrine, and I'll be smiling at it every morning, knowing you in hell and doing fine.
Oh, yeah.
Now the devil drives a hard bargain, as devils often will. He wanted a little something extra to sweeten your deal's bitter pill. Oh, devil was not satisfied about the deal you forced on him. So he helped me with my dirty work. He said, he told me, you want me to handle this for you, Jim?
Oh, got to get it high. If you get impatient, baby, the soggy cornbread's all you got. Push up on it, Gene.
Yeah, that's the one. That was James Harmon from his new CD on Electrify Records from Toronto. And the CD is titled Fine Print. And Gene Taylor on some tasty piano on that particular track. James Harmon on harp and vocals on a tune titled In With the Grief, In With the Gravy. And we opened up hearing about the Memory Foam Mattress. All right, I'm going to return to another soundbite. I love this quote from James Harmon, the artist that we just heard. He's talking about the Bobby Bland Band and Bobby himself and how cool they were to see back in the early 1960s. And we're going to hear some Bobby Bland for Richard out in Redmond, Oregon, who dropped me a line during the week and made that request and suggested a couple of tunes in particular. But here's James Harmon talking about Bobby Bland.
But Bobby Bland had the best band. I'd go see Bobby Bland. It was when Jabbo Starks was playing drums before James Brown stole him, and Wayne Bennett on guitar, and that Hap guy, the real studio bass player for all those Duke records, you know, playing a K single cutaway K electric bass, sitting on a stool with a bass in his lap, playing with two fingers, obviously stand-up training. And those records sounded like those Duke records that when they would play live. The band would come out and do an hour and a half of jazz, killer, two trombones, four saxophones, and two trumpets. And that rhythm section, little bitty flip-top B-15 Ampeg amp and a little concert amp for Wayne Bennett, all sitting on stools. And that band would play jazz for an hour and a half. The place was going crazy. And then, bum, 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 here's the man that Bobby Bland would come out. And there wasn't a dry seat in the house.
Wow. You know, several years ago, I had the chance to interview Jabbo Starks from Mobile, Alabama. Yeah. And I asked him, I said, now, you've been a drummer for Bobby Bland and B.B. King and James Brown. What was the best band you ever worked with? And he didn't even hesitate. He said, Bobby Bland's band.
Absolutely.
You know, with Joe Scott.
Joe Scott, Jesus, man, what a band leader. I mean, that was the greatest band I ever heard live. Just overwhelming, mm-hmm. Overwhelming. They play the preludes to those songs, you know. And then the song would kick in and you'd realize it's Yield Not to Temptation. And that beat would start and you could cry, you know. You couldn't help yourself. And the front row would be women throwing underwear and keys to hotel rooms. And brassieres, man, there must have been 25 bras on the stage, underpants, keys. And Bobby Bland stand up there, cool, cool, cool. Like he didn't even notice any of that. And he'd pull out a little handkerchief and he'd wipe a little sweat and throw it to a girl in the front. She'd faint and it'd be a fist fight right there. He was it.
Yeah.
He was all there was to it. Monster, man. And it blew my mind. I'd stand out in a parking lot and watch his bus, and it seemed like 25 guys with a goatee and sunglasses would get off that bus and walk in, and then finally he would get off in a cape, you know, and he'd go in, and I'd go, that's it. That's what I'm going to be right there. I'm going to be that guy, the last guy off the bus. And that was my dream world, you know. It ran everything else.
Well, it was a great thrill for me to sit down on a sofa in the dressing room with Bobby Blue Bland back in about 2006 down in Ann Arbor. A huge thrill, not only to interview him, also from Memphis, Little Milton and B.B. King. All three of them got their careers started in Memphis in the 1950s, and it was a huge thrill over the years to connect with them and sit down and tape an interview. Anyway, let's turn to a couple of Bobby Bland tunes, and both of these were suggested by Richard in Redmond, Oregon, listening online. So let's go back to 1962, and Richard said play 36, 22, 36.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's the man. I mean the man. The sensational. The incomparable, the dynamic Bobby Bland.
My baby, she looks so fine.
36, 22, 36.
Eyes on, hands off, 'cause she's mine, all mine.
36, 22, 36.
My baby, she looks so good.
36.
Steal her if you only could. She looks so good from her head to feet.
36, 22, 36.
My girl can be tied, but she can't be beat. My baby,
baby, she looks so fine.
96, 22, 96.
Eyes on, hands off, but she's mine. All mine. Without a warning, you broke my heart. You took it, darling. And you tore it apart. You left me sitting in the dark crying. You said your love for me was dying. I'm begging you, baby, baby, please. I'm begging you, baby, baby, please. Turn on the light, let it shine on me. Turn on your love light, let it shine on me. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. I wanna know what I get a little lonely in the middle of the night. I need you, darling, to make things all right. Come on, baby. Come on, please. Come on, baby. Baby, please. Shine on the light. Let it shine on me. Shine on your love light. Let it shine on me. A little bit higher. A little bit higher. Just a little bit higher. A little bit higher. A little bit higher. Come on, baby, come on, please. I'm begging you, baby, I'm down on my knees. Turn on the light, let it shine on me. Turn on your love light, let it shine on me. I feel all right, I feel all right, I feel all right.
Bobby Bland, Turn On Your Love Light, 1961 was the year. And that had the great Jabbo Starks on the drums there as well, with Joe Scott's band in the studio for Duke Records in 61. In front of that, we heard 36, 22, 36. Now I'm going to return to, in a minute here, I'm going to return to another soundbite for an interview with the owner of the Alligator label, Bruce Iglauer, talking about Albert Collins. It's just about 10 minutes in front of 10 o'clock, and let's return to a soundbite from my interview with the owner of the Alligator label. Earlier in the evening, we heard Bruce Iglauer talking about Hound Dog Taylor and how he was inspired to launch the Alligator label. Well, here's another key artist in the Alligator catalog, Albert Collins.
So tell me, the first Albert Collins contact you had, what was it? Did you go see him in performance?
Well, I was a huge Albert fan before I ever saw him. I used to get up in the morning and I'd listen to that old cool sound of Albert Collins record that later became Truckin' with Albert Collins. And I actually arranged a booking for him in Champaign, Illinois. He was heading somewhere. And I couldn't get a Chicago date for him, but I got a Champaign date for him and drove 120 miles to see him. That would have been around 1974. And he was pretty thrilling, as he always was. Albert played guitar. The three most exciting electric guitar players I've ever seen were Albert Collins, Freddie King, and Luther Allison. And they had in common that they played guitar with their whole bodies, not with their hands or their arms or their torsos, but from the toes to the top of the head. And they were all therefore very powerful players. They all attacked their guitars. In the case of both Albert and Freddie, they played with fingers rather than with a flat pick. Albert played with his thumb and first finger bare. And he had his Telecaster set up, turned wide open. You know, that's a very bright, loud guitar. He'd turn his amp wide open and his guitar wide open so that the guitar had so much sustain. And then he would snap the strings with his fingers rather than just pluck them. To cut off the sustain, he'd then damp the strings with the side of his hand, with the side of his right hand. And Freddie actually did the same thing. I met Albert only briefly at that time, at the time I arranged the gig. He seemed a very modest guy, which in fact he turned out to be. Around 1977, Otis Rush...
We'll get back to that story from Bruce Iglauer in the 10 o'clock hour. Let's turn to a couple of tunes that he recorded. Albert Collins recorded for Bruce at the Alligator label. Here is kind of a conversational sort of thing that Albert loved to do on each of his CDs. This is an old TV Slim tune, and Albert's doing it on the guitar and vocals. It's called Don't Go Reachin' Across My Plate.
This world I just can't stand, just being at the table with an ill-mannered man. Now if he's sitting on your left, before you can eat a bite, he'll reach across your plate, and you know that ain't right. Now I like to eat as well as any man, but there's some rules a fool should understand. When you had one little helping and want an extra piece of cake, I tell everybody, don't go reaching across my plate. I was at a party last night at Over Big Mary. Cat reached across my plate, got his coat sleeve in my gravy. I didn't say a word, just looked him dead in the eye. He reached across my plate and cut him a piece of pie. Now I don't care if you did it for a prank. I don't care if you had a drink, especially when I'm out or with my date. Now don't you go reaching across my plate. Party last week, there was some high class folks. Everything on the table, and that ain't no joke. Had barbecue possum, rattlesnake gravy, chicken fried skunk, and it smelled real crazy. Everything went fine, but one thing made me blue. A cat reached across my plate for some armadillo stew. Now when you're at the table, you act real nice. You say, pass me that, or pass me the pie. But just because you hungry and happen to come in late, don't you go reaching across my plate. Pass some of that turkey over there, baby. Now don't give me none of that skunk. I don't want none of that. I beg your pardon. If this cat stop reaching across my plate, I can make me ask for something. I'll pass me a little turkey there, baby.
If you love me like you say, why you treat me like you do? If you love me like you say, baby, why you treat me like you do? Well, I ain't no fool, I'm cool, I know the rule. Said you never run around, said you never stay out late, said you never run around, baby, said you never stay out late. Let me tell you, pretty baby, I got to set you straight. If you love me like you say, yeah, 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 why'd you treat me like you do? If you love me like you say, baby, why you treat me like you do? Well, I ain't no fool, I'm cool, I know the
And that was Albert Collins from his Alligator CD from 1980 titled Frostbite. In fact, that came out on LP back in 1980. It wasn't until 1986 that Alligator began to issue CDs. And that was a tune titled If You Love Me Like You Say. And we opened it up with Don't Go Reaching Across My Plate. When I come back after the station ID and some other messages, we're going to turn to a soundbite from an interview I taped with Ruthie Foster, so you be sure to stay near the radio.